The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back. Wow, lots of things happening. The G7 is over. Like, we really held our breath. Donald Trump, apparently, according to Stuart Varney, dominated the G7, unlike any president in recent history. He has, to back that up, invited the next G7 venue to be nothing less than his Florida Country Club. So, we'll see. He's right now a big dog in it, apparently, over there. Not so much over here, but over there. China, a lot of things going on with that. We have it all going up in headlines very shortly. The whole day's news wrapped up in our evening newspaper for you at Rents News. So that's coming up very soon. We have a lot to talk about tonight. A lot of interesting people, interesting topics, and I hope that this goes as well as it's planned. First up is my friend of, 25 years? I don't know. Long time. He is a man who has digested, assimilated, and cognitively understood the game throughout recorded history. And that game is, it's not really a game, it's a masterful plan of absolute control of what we call the most sentient species on the planet, which is soon to be the second most sentient species on the planet. And if you don't believe me, just hang around and ask AI who's number one. Hello, Jordan Maxwell. Welcome back.
Hello there, Jeffrey. I am so delighted to be back with you. Always happy to be here with you.
Yeah, well, we've been around the block many times.
Oh, many God, times. Yeah. I'm afraid we're going again. We got more to talk about. Yeah.
What's happening here, there's a word, terraforming, reconfiguring a planet, reconfiguring a geography, a location. We're being terraformed here into a very dark and dreary indentured servitude to the international global elite, who are satanic pedophiles, more often than not, it seems. And that's the way it's happening. That's where it's going. And there's really not a damn thing, as you and I both know, and most of our listeners know, that we can do about it except to be aware of it. And that's where you come in. It's dark out there, Jordan. Dark.
Hey, boy. You got that right. And it's only, I'll tell you, you only have to look at it for about 60 years to figure out how really dark this stuff really is. And the more I look, the more I've found, the more I've found, the more I don't believe. And it's just extraordinary stuff.
It is. It's hard to believe. And underlying it, is this fact that the technology that has been invented, created, and deployed against us is 30, 40, 50 years down the road from that which any normal person would ever be able to accept. They want to hear about it. Oh, my God. It's all tied in with chemtrails, with nanotech, with HARP facilities, of which there are apparently hundreds now. They can truck them around and set them up real quick. They're bouncing this enormous amount of energy off the ionosphere with instructions, and it comes back, and most everyone walking now is already implanted with silicon-based self-replicating transmitter receivers that embed themselves in the neurology of the person. So don't think for a minute you're ever going to line up for the rice grain-sized injected chip. It's already a done deal. Now, that's the part that I say most people could never understand and wouldn't.
No doubt about it. You're right. Even small little things that happen to you each day, people do not realize the full implications of. Now, I am not suggesting, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not practicing law, and I'm not suggesting you do anything about what I might talk about. I'm not suggesting you do anything. Because, in point of fact, if you're not the world's foremost authority on the subjects that I talk about, and I am not. And so if you're not the foremost authority on it, then don't fool with it, because there's too dark a story. And you'll get in trouble trying to figure out some of the stuff I will talk about.
Good advice. Okay? Very good disclaimer. Excellent.
So yeah. I would go on then to say, did you know, talking about how little things are hidden right in front of you, did you know that if a cop pulls you over and he comes up to your car and he's going to write you a ticket, and of course you're expected to pay the ticket. Well, when he's writing you the ticket, he's writing the ticket out, and then he signs it and then hands it to you, and then you sign it. What you don't realize is you are an undersigner. You are a co-signer.
Co-signer, which, you bet.
Yeah, you're a co-signer. You signed it under his name. He signed it first. It's his ticket. You didn't print the ticket. It was his ticket. He printed it, and he signed it, and then he handed it to you so you could co-sign it. Well, when you co-sign it, you're now expected to pay it. But suppose I go into a store and I go with you and you want to buy something, a small boat, but you can't pay for it. You don't have enough money. And so you ask me to co-sign for you. What that means is if you don't pay for it, I have to, if I co-sign. And so when the cop gives you the ticket, you co-sign it. He signed it first. It's his ticket, so he signed it, and you co-signed it, which means I've seen it done. I don't know how to do it. I wouldn't even fool with it myself, but I've seen it done where you take that ticket and photocopy the ticket, put it into some kind of an affidavit, and send it to the Department of State. Send it to the Secretary of State in the state that you live in, and just say, I have decided I made a mistake, and I don't want to co-sign for this guy. And the Secretary of State will take that ticket and give it to the Treasurer, Secretary Treasurer in the state you live in. And that person will then send the ticket to the cop's house, and he has to pay it. Because he's the one that had the ticket. He's the one that signed it. You co-signed.
He's the primary responsible, yeah.
That's right. He's the primary responsible to pay the ticket. It's his ticket, and he's the one that signed it.
Oh, so this is funny. You're the co-signer.
Yeah, so then you just tell the Secretary of State, I've decided I made a mistake. I don't want to co-sign for this guy. I don't like him. I've decided I don't want to co-sign. So then the Secretary of State will send it to the particular official in charge of your state's money, your financial.
Yeah, the treasury.
Secretary. Yeah, and then that person will send the ticket to the cop's house, and he has to pay the ticket.
Has this happened?
And it happened. I saw it happen in Hollywood. My friend, who was extraordinarily brilliant young man, incredibly brilliant young man, and we were driving down in Hollywood one day, and we saw a police car, and so he said, "Well, watch this." So he purposely makes a left turn illegally, which the cop catches it, and so the cop pulls him over. And it comes up to the car, and with this ticket, he's writing out a ticket. And then my young friend said, "Oh, incidentally, officer, I have down here," and he reached down on the floor, and he said, "I have an open beer can." And so the cop said, "Oh, really? Yeah, you smart aleck. Okay, I'll write you up for the open beer can." And then after he wrote him up for that, he said, "And incidentally, I have a light out. If you'll go back and check it out, I'll show you. I have a light out on the back of my car."
And the cop couldn't figure out he's being set up. Jeez.
No, cop did not know he's being set up. So the cop thought that kid was being smart aleck and pompous and arrogant and smart aleck. So he said, "Okay, yeah, tell me what else you got so I can write you up." And so the kid said, he told him, "Yeah, go check the light." And he said, "Okay, I got it. I wrote that down. You see the beer can, open beer can? Yep, we got that too." And he said, "Okay." Well, then he writes out the ticket and he signs it and he hands it to the kid and the kid signs it. Then when we got home, the first thing the boy did was he drove over to Kiko's and photocopied it and then put an affidavit to it, a particular kind of affidavit he had on his computer. And sent it immediately to the Secretary of State in California Secretary of State, and saying, "I have made a mistake and I have co-signed for something I wish to not co-sign. I want to withdraw my co-signature." And so the Secretary of State sent it to the Treasury of the state, and the state sent the bill to the cop. And a couple of days later, I was invited over to my friend's house. We were sitting there having a couple of beers and watching TV because I loved his company because he was so incredibly brilliant. And we got a knock on the door, a really violent knock on the door, and it's the cops there. And the cop is ranting and raving at him. And I was kind of laughing to myself because my friend was at the door trying to keep the guy quiet. And the guy was yelling, the cop was yelling at him, "What the hell is this? This is a bill? I've got to pay this bill?" And he said, yeah, you pay it. I want you to get off my porch and quit yelling." And he said, "I've got a wife and kids, and this is an incredible bill." And my friend said, "Oh, it's all right to give me a ticket because you don't give a damn about me. But now that I give you the ticket, now you want to cry like a baby. Get off my porch and go home and pay the bill and shut up. You don't owe it to me. You owe it to the state. You better pay it." The guy was ranting and raving as he went out to the car, giving him the finger and ranting and raving and drove off.
So yeah, and you saw all this. This is hilarious.
I know that it works because I saw it with my own eyes. And I asked him, I said, "How did you do that?" He said, "Oh, you just have to give them, you make them a deal they can't refuse." And so he told me, this kid told me about some really interesting stuff. He told me, and this is, I've written this down so I don't forget it, that in every court in America, there is an insurance company for the court. Did you know that? That every court is insured by a privately owned insurance company.
Liability insurance.
Yeah, it's a company called CRIS, C-R-I-S, which stands for Court Registry Investment System. CRIS is an important insurance company that insures all courts in America.
All the admiralty courts in America have an insurance policy.
That's right. It's called Court Registry Investment System.
Wow.
And it's run by a secret group of bankers called CUSPID, CUSIP, which stands for the Committee on Uniform Securities Identification Procedures. CUSIP, Committee on Uniform Security Identification Procedures.
Okay.
Which is the insurance guys who run the
Give us the acronym.
Company.
What is the acronym?
CUSIP.
CUSIP. CUSIP.
CUSIP.
Got
Committee.
It.
Committee on Uniform Securities Identification Procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the powers behind CRIS, Court Registry Investment System.
Uh-huh.
And what this is, he was explaining it to me, and I had a lawyer. When I was in court, I had to go to court about a year ago, more than a year ago, for some little infraction I had. And I went to court, and the court appointed me a public defender. And the public defender happened by chance, as it would happen for me. He happened to be a very, very nice man. I really liked him. He was a very kind and very legitimate and very real nice guy.
Well, that didn't happen in that business very often.
I know. It's just hard to believe. But he was a very kind and courteous man, and he mm-hmm. was very nice to me. And he said to me, Jordan, the judge is going to want to make what you have done, the judge is going to want to make it into a felony. And I said, why? And he said, well, it's not a felony, but the judge will make it into a felony. He's going to try and make it look like a felony. And I said, why? He said, because there's something called the Court Registry Investment System. Well, now I know what it is. CRIS, Court Registry Investment System.
Oh, I'm beginning to see where you're going with this. Mm-hmm.
And he said that if the judge can find you guilty of a felony, he gets paid by the insurance company.
There it is. There it is.
At the end of the year, he gets a check. For every single person he has found with a felony, that he's guilty of a felony, he gets paid by the Court Registry Investment System, which is overseen by the Committee for the Uniform Securities Identification Procedures. So what I'm saying is that there is an insurance company that is operating behind the scenes in courts where the judges are paid to find you guilty. And they are paid large sums of money at the end of the year for each person that they can pin a felony on. So that's why the judges are very quick to throw out penalties and say that you're a felon and find you guilty of felony because of the Court Registry Investment System, which pays them a lot of money at the end of the year that you're not supposed to know about for finding you guilty. Why? Because your body is on security on the New York Stock Exchange. This has to do with some really off-the-wall, dark stuff going on in courts that most people have no idea about.
Clueless.
Incredible.
Clueless. This is really amazing. Now, for you to come up with something that you didn't already know about, one wonders how many other things may be out there. But the court, we know that the ticket writing industry is simply revenue raising. That's what it is. But
that's
now we're getting kickbacks to the judges to enforce this shit, excuse me, this crap, and make it worse on people, ruin their lives for a buck.
Write it down. Court Registry Investment System.
I'm going to put this up on a YouTube video. Yeah, I'll put this up on a YouTube video. CRIS.
Yeah.
Wow. Do all the 50 states have the Secretary of State out? Give that. CUSIP.
Correct. Committee on Uniform Securities Identification Procedures.
Got it. Do all 50 states have the security of state option, or is that just something in California?
I think so, yes. From what he told me, all states operate with the CRIS, CRIS, yes. Therefore, in all states, if the judge can send you away on a felony, then he gets paid to find you guilty.
This country is so criminal. Oh, my God.
Well, wait a minute. I haven't got to the good part yet. I was aware many years ago when I got married. I became aware because I happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time to hear the wrong stuff. And I heard from the horse's mouth, the people in charge. I heard that the state of California has its own license tags that are produced by the prisons. The state of California produces their own license tags for the mafia, for the organized criminal syndicates in California. They have their own special license plates. And the detectives that were telling me this said, when we see these particular license plates, the word is, do not touch that car or truck or motorcycle or whatever it is. If it has this license plate, don't touch it, period. End of sentence. No matter what you see it do, just keep your mouth shut and go about your business and leave it alone. The mob has their own license plates in California.
Do they look like normal plates but have a certain code on them? Is that it, or a sequence of number letters?
I'm not sure because they have to be
somewhat stealthy with it. So I would think that maybe
it'd be very stealth, but also it would have to be fairly obvious to a new cop.
Yeah,
on the beat.
Yeah.
If he's told, then don't make a mistake and stop a car. Don't make a mistake and stop it, because if you do, you're going to be in trouble with the state government. Why? Because they're going to be in trouble with the mob. There's an understanding. We got an agreement here. You don't mess with us, and we take care of business for you.
So this is a mob kickback. They got their fingers into the licensing machine. How funny. Autolite. Amazing, Jordan. Amazing. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. We have to pause just for a little bit. It just gets worse. We are a criminal nation on the planet Zion. And God help us all. Wow. Back in a minute. Hold on. Welcome back, talking with Jordan. That's CRIS and CUSIP.
Yeah.
Chris and Cussip. All right, well, you have a little homework on that. So many shady, dark dimensions to this whole thing. It's just remarkable.
Yeah, it is.
Endless. And the people
judges
actually
being
think that.
Paid off to fight guilty.
And the sad thing is, the people are constantly being conned with these labels, Democrat, Republican, conservative, but they don't understand. They're all on the same bicycle wheel, and all are connected with spokes that go to the central core, the axle, or the matrix. It's just like spinning wheel. They're all on the same damn wheel. They're chasing each other's tail.
I remember back in 1980s, I went to a conference in San Francisco where a guy was explaining the legal and lawful system and the governmental banking system.
Yeah.
And I remember it was very funny the way he put it. He said that the system is like you as a hamster on a wheel. And the faster you run, you're not going anywhere. It's a wheel. And so he said, you're not going anywhere. He said, but we discovered something very interesting here in San Francisco, this company that put on the lecture. He said, we discovered something very interesting. If you stop the wheel and take the hamster out of the wheel, he don't come back. He's gone. So unlike we humans, we love to get up in the morning and get back on the damn wheel and do it all over again. But the hamster, you take them off the wheel and they are gone. They're not coming back to that wheel.
That's funny. Well, a lot to be said for hamsters. They're not so dumb. Listen, we are trained, and now it's pre-cradle to grave, pre-birth. They're now into that. They're programming and everything the mother ingests, remember, goes into the baby. You got to remember that. Now, we don't really have, I hate to say it, but with the mass mind control of the mainstream media, all the media, from movies to entertainment to the news, CBS, ABC, and that horrible, execrable National Public Radio, we don't, look, the hamsters, us, aren't getting off the wheel. We're afraid to. They've got us thinking, oh, God, you get off the wheel, you're going to be out in the streets. Got to stay on that wheel. And the faster you run, the more you're turning RPMs to put more lucre, the filthy lucre, in the pockets of the controllers. That's all it is.
Yep. And I discovered a long time ago, I don't know if I ever told you, that there's a very important law book out there called Black's Law Dictionary.
Yes, we have talked about that in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Black's Law Dictionary is a French dictionary for black folks in all the colonies that the French control. There was a law put out by the French government to govern the blacks as slaves. And it was called Black's Law Dictionary, not because it was a Mr. Black. No, it was put out there for the Negro slaves by the French government, Black's Law Dictionary.
Right.
And what else was I going to tell you? I got some wonderful stuff to tell you. Oh, yes. If you were to go into a costume store, or somehow or another get a hold of a policeman's uniform, and you put on the policeman's uniform, and you get on a motorcycle, and you stop people in the street to give them a ticket. And if you found out, the law says that you are guilty of impersonating an officer of the law under color of the law. Do you understand what the term under color of law means?
Explain it. I know a little bit, but not enough to sound intelligent.
Well, the color of law means that when you are doing something and representing a political power, you have a flag, and that flag represents your colors. And this is why when you have a good friend for many years, and then one day you find out something about him that shocks you, you say, oh, I see. Now I see his colors. He's showing his real colors. Why? Because in a war, you show your colors. Unless, of course, you're smart enough to know you can't win, then you raise a white flag, solid white, which means I don't have any colors to defend. I give up. So if you commit a crime impersonating a government agent, is called you are impersonating a government agent under color of law, meaning you're acting like you are representing the colors of America, the red, white, and blue. But in point of fact, you are not. You're a criminal impersonating an officer, so you're guilty under color of law. So it means that you are not actually representing the colors. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because with the founding of the United States Corporation back in the 1860s, 1870s, it was decided that black folks who were brought to America under slavery could not and would not, it says that in actual language, cannot become citizens of the United States because they came here under a wartime setting. They were prisoners of war because the population of America went over to Africa, stole the people from Africa, and brought them here as slaves. So they were brought here under the color of law. Mm-hmm. They're not really citizens. So therefore, that's why we call the blacks colored people. Because it's not the
Black. Oh, that's interesting. See, Jordan is such a genius about these symbols. They're all terminology symbols. That's fascinating. Explain that again real quick for people. Go ahead. Just explain that again.
So they're colored folks. Why? Because they are acting like U.S. citizens under color of law. There is no law that says they are citizens because they can't be citizens. When you bring a citizen and when you bring a person into this country that's under act of war and it's a prisoner, he cannot, by law, according to international law, that prisoner can never become a citizen of that country. He is always understood to be a criminal. He's always understood to be a slave. Therefore, he cannot have full citizenship. So he can have citizenship under color of law, meaning, well, they're already here, and there's so many blacks, we might as well just say that they're like citizens. So we just treat them like citizens, and we'll just say they're citizens. But an actual point of fact, they are not actual American citizens. Why? Because they're acting like a citizen under color of law.
Got it.
So they're colored folks.
Fascinating. Democrat 2020 candidate Marianne Williamson is saying that she'll be happy as president with $500 billion for slavery reparations. And now she's talking about reparations for indigenous American peoples. So she wants a couple $1 trillion to pay these people off, the great-great-great-grandchildren of slaves who were brought over here by whom, Jordan? Who ran the whole damn slavery business?
Yeah, well, I know.
I'll say it. It was a Jewish business. And if you don't believe it, spend some time, go to the British Library and look up ownership of these slave ships. They're almost all owned by Jewish businessmen. All of them.
That's right.
And they worked the deal. They made money coming and going. This is another typical example of, let's call it creative finance. These people are just past masters of it.
Yeah, we've heard from the government that says that the Jews have much in common with the blacks because they were mistreated and some of the blacks, so they have much in common.
Oh, we hear that all the time.
And I said, yes, the Jews have much in common with the blacks. They own them.
They did. Yeah, they buy them wholesale. They bring them over here and sell them. Okay? That's called human trafficking. I get it? This is a fact. Nothing hidden about it. It's there.
Yeah, but let me explain something. It's just business. We're talking business now. Organized crime will tell you they like you. You're a good guy. You've been a friend for many years, but the boss says you got to go. So tonight is the last night you will see the sun because you got to go. Why? It's just business.
Don't they spell it B-I-N-U-S, business? Just business.
It's just business.
Man.
Somebody's got to whack you. Somebody's going to take you out for talking too much.
Hey, we,
and so
human,
I guess
listen.
It's got to be, it's falling apart.
Politics is, Jordan, politics is run by assassination. Let's be honest, okay? All right.
I heard many years ago that the word mafia comes from Italy, and it was under the word in English, Mazzini affirms fire, insurrection, and assassination.
Oh, really?
Giuseppe Mazzini was the guy he's the one that gave us the mafia. Mazzini, Giuseppe Mazzini. And Mazzini affirms fire, insurrection, and assassination, the three cornerstones of political power. Fire, insurrection, or just taking you out, killing you. So, I didn't say that it were evil. Just remember that all of this comes out of Italy, and it's all connected to the Pope. It's connected directly to the Vatican. Why? Because the Pope comes from a Latin word, papa, and your Pope is your papa, and your papa is your father. So we know that he talks to God. He represents God, so he is a godfather. Get it?
Oh, God. No pun intended. Good one.
No.
Another good one.
Good pun intended.
Yes.
He is the Holy Father that talks to God. He's the original godfather. That's why Italy is crawling with the secret societies of organized crime. Today, Holy Father runs America. The Holy Father is the power behind the U.S. government. The United States government is a Roman governmental system that's come to the New World. Because Caesar, when he left Europe, he had taken over all of Europe, and Europe had taken over the rest of the world. Caesar wanted one thing left that Caesar needed to take over, and that was Britannia. He wanted to go into the British Isles and take over the British Isles. And so he went across that water strait between Europe and Britannia. And when and when he went across the English Channel, he set up his government of Rome in Britain. Where was the seat of Roman power in Britain? Where did he set up his governmental system? It was in York, England. I know I was in York, England. They've got huge statues in York, England of Caesars. Tiberius Caesar, Augustus Caesar, all the Caesars. This is the center for Roman power in Britannia. Was York, England. Therefore, when you come over here, we come to New York. New York is the Empire State. Mm-hmm. The Roman Empire now all over the earth is in New York, the Empire State. Rome is now taking over the entire damn earth. It's called the United Nations. Of course, the UN is the government of the world. And why does it have as a symbol for the United Nations the Roman reef? The Roman reef and the earth in between in the middle? Because the Roman reef represents the Pontifex Maximus, the Holy Father who talks to God. He's the Godfather. And if you run any country, if you're president or king of any country, you better fly over to Rome and get a permission and go before the Pope and go on your knees and crawl in on your knees like a slave you are and kiss his ring. And you better kiss his ring in public because he is the Godfather.
Don't forget to turn over your 5 and 6 year old children to him also.
Yeah. That's not all you can kiss.
You kiss your kids goodbye. The whole damn thing has been set up on a foundation of the most satanic pedophilia practices. This includes cannibalism. It goes on to adrenochrome, which is a hyper adrenalized fluid in the blood when a child is sacrificed, and they all drink it because it's supposedly the ultimate physical rush. It's all evil, and Jordan knows it better than most anyone on the planet ever has. I can't even imagine anyone who gets it more. This is amazing stuff. It's always amazing to hear it, even though I've heard it from you for a long time. Every time I hear it, it just boggles my mind.
Well, it's been boggling my mind for a long time. I've been looking at this stuff for 60 years. And the area of the world that we call today the State of Israel, that land area that is marked by the State of Israel, in the ancient world was called Cana. Cana. It was called the Land of Cana. Yeah. In the Land of Cana, they had a worship of a god. They had a worship of a god, the bull. And this bull was called Marduk. And so in the Land of Cana, what we call Israel today, there was a Canaanite people. And the Canaanite people had their religion. It was called the Land of Cana. And their religion was called Canaanite religion. And it was a Phoenician people. The language that the Canaanite people spoke, we today call it Hebrew. But we don't know any difference. You're ignorant if you call the language that the Jews speak today Hebrew. There is no Hebrew language, period. Go back and do some homework and you will see what you call Hebrew is a Phoenician language. But we the people you call Hebrew speak that language. So we who don't know our butt from a hole in the ground, we say, well, those people, the Jews are speaking Hebrew. No, they are Hebrew. They're not speaking Hebrew, but because you don't know the difference, you say the language they're speaking is Hebrew. It's like in America. In America, everybody knows we speak American. No, you don't speak American. You are American. You speak English. Understand the difference. You're an American, but you speak English. You're a Jew, but you speak Phoenician Canaanite. The word Phoenician gives us our word phonics and phony. The phonics of language and phony. And God knows everything that's come out of the Holy Land we call Israel. I've said it 100 times publicly. There's nothing holy in the Holy Land. The only thing that's holy in the Holy Land are the stories that come out of it. They're full of holes. They've been giving us stories that are full of holes, so that's why it's called the Holy Land. You need to understand that there is no Hebrew language. There is a Phoenician Canaanite language. And going back to the original idea that what we call Israel today was called Cana. And they had a particular worship and a religion in Cana. And it was the worship of Baal. B-A-A-L. Baal was called the Lord. Almighty God, the Lord. The Lord God. Baal. Yeah. And so in that religion, the Canaanites, we call the Hebrews, they were Phoenician Canaanites. And the Canaanites used to worship the god Baal by burning their children in a fire because the sun represented heat.
Yeah.
And so the god of heat was a fire.
Yeah.
Now, what we don't know, what most people don't know, is that the priest of the Canaanites, after they would throw your children into the fire, and you've killed your son and daughter by throwing them into the fire, to offer up a sacrifice to the Lord, to God. And the God's name was Baal. Therefore, the Canaanites' priests were worshiping the god Baal. And so that's where we get the word Cana Baal, or Cannibal. The word cannibal comes from Cana.
Cainite and Baal.
Cannibal. So therefore, all the crap going on today with killing around the world is cannibalism. Cannibal.
Cannibalism. I got it.
Cannibalism. And this is why when you want to talk about the holiness of the God of Israel, the holiness of the God of Israel, his name is so holy that in Judaism, you're not supposed to use the name of God, period. Because if you use his name, you're guilty of using the Lord's name in vain. Why? Because you are just vain and you're using God's holy name. So in Hebrew, we are told that if you want to talk about the God of Israel, don't use his name, Arrowhead. Do not use that name. It's dangerous. Okay? But there is a name that the Jewish world has come up with that represents God's name. And so yes, you can use that. You can use that name. But it isn't God's name. It just represents his name.
And I'm sitting down waiting.
It's called Tetragrammaton.
I knew that. What?
Tetragrammaton.
Okay.
So Tetragrammaton is the word tetra is four. In Latin,
right.
Four.
Tetra, yeah.
Gramma is a letter. That's why we have gramma, grammatical. Gramma is a letter, like A, B, C, and D is gramma. So tetragramma is four letters.
Oh.
So that's exactly what the tetragramma and tetragrammaton is. It's a four letters of the Hebrew God, and the Hebrew God is Aton. It's called the Tetragramma Aton. Go back and read it. Tetragramma Aton. The Aton was the sun god of Egypt.
That's in Egypt. A-T-O-N, yeah.
Yep. That's why in any synagogue you go to in the world, you will always see the name of God, the four Hebrew letters, which is the Tetragramma Aton. And it's inside of a sunburst. Because the God of the Hebrews was always the sun god. That's where Christianity got it. But we now name the day after. It's called Sunday. And the Christians go to worship on Sunday. The Jews go to worship the Tetragramma Aton. Look up the word Aton. It will tell you the sun god of Egypt. This is why Jesus is called God's Son, the light of the world. Of course the sun is the light of the world. And you go to worship him on Sunday. The entire system of religion has been cooked up by the Knights Templars back in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th century A.D.
Nicaea.
There was no Jesus, there was no Moses, there was no ancient Israel. It never existed. I'm here to tell you.
Yeah,
and
go ahead.
I don't really care if you like it or not, or if you believe it or not, or if you can handle it mentally or not. It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you, there was no ancient Israel, period. It never existed. So all the wonderful stories about the ancient Egyptians and the ancient Israel never existed. There was no ancient Israel. It's a
so this all came out of Nicaea. It all came out of Nicaea. The whole thing
That's
was
right.
concocted. A screenplay second to none. Okay.
That's exactly right. It was a screenplay next to none.
Wow.
And so therefore, it's just a story. That's why the Bible is called the greatest story ever told. Wake up. It's just a story. And my mother used to get mad at me for telling stories. You out there telling stories? Yeah. Well, that's what the Bible is doing. It's a story. The greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever impacted on the human race.
Yeah.
And the
Jews tell
you that they are God's chosen people. God's chosen people are the Tetragramma Aton. I'm just telling you that there's something going on here in religion that is so awesome and so ancient and so well hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been propagandized from the moment you come out of your mother's womb.
Come
out to a world, and the whole world is impacting on you. And as you grow up from birth to the time you grow up to be 7 or 8 years old, like the Jesuits used to say, give me a child till he's 7 years old, and he's mine forever.
All true.
Meaning, if they can get you when you come out of the womb, they can get you and train you and teach you.
By the time you're 6,
8 years old.
That was what Sunday school was all about. Get the little kids,
right.
And by the time they're 6, their personalities are essentially formed, and they're programmed. And that's it.
And that's it.
Wow.
They will be mine forever. They will. And that's why the Catholics would tell you, my great-grandfather was a Catholic. My granddad was a Catholic. My father was a Catholic. And by God, I'll die a Catholic. And I said, yep, you probably will. If you feel so damn stupid, yes, you probably will, because everybody has been taught up till they were 8 years old what to kiss and when.
Jordan.
So I started many years ago putting Alka-Seltzer in the holy water.
What a wonderful hour.
I love to watch people get all excited that the Lord was here.
Oh, he's right there. That's too funny. Oh, you're amazing. We got to say goodnight for this visit. We'll do it again soon. There's a lot more where that came from. Good night,
One
Jordan.
One last thing I would like to say is my website. Yeah. Go on my website to Jordan Maxwell Show. Don't forget the word show. Go to Jordan Maxwell Show, and if you wish, you could go out of your way and make a contribution, a little donation.
Oh, and let's thank people for helping last time out.
Yep, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, they really did. Thank all of you. Jordan, talk soon.
Talk to you
later.
Not
soon enough.
Bye-bye.
All right, good night. All right, the amazing Mr. Maxwell. We will be right back.